everybody hear me?
Oh, whoa, step back.
I ain't out loud.
Hello? Check. That better? Okay.
Hello and welcome to Disney Magic Hour, episode number 56. On this week's show, we will review my visit over at the Walt Disney Family Museum. Me and Melissa will review Blaze Pizza, and we have a couple of special announcements. Till then, though, to my left is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Joining me via Skype in New York is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
And the man behind the Main Street Gazette is also joining us, Ryan Wilson. Say hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. And that was Toys Noise from Pogo. You can find that video and more over at youtube.com/Pogo. And his music all in full over at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That is D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. On Facebook, if you search for Disney Magic Hour, you can add yourself to that group. You head on over to iTunes, give a 5-star review. Melissa will read it at the end of the show. We don't know if we have any, but we'll double check that later on.
We don't.
Okay. And if you head on over to Google Music Play and go into the podcast section, you can find us there as well. And of course, all of our episodes, previous and the ones that will come up in the future, you can find at soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast. Melissa, where can they find us on Instagram?
At Disney Magic Hour Podcast.
Huzzah! So we are back. Well, most of us are back after a couple of weeks off. Melissa was here last week with Stephanie. Or Steph?
Steph.
You told me not to, so now I said it by accident.
Well, at least she'll know that I said no.
Yeah, well, she won't believe you, though. Before we go into anything, I actually want to talk about something very important that happened this week, and it has to do with Mr. Ryan Wilson. Ryan, you had an anniversary this week, did you not?
I did. The Gazette turned 9.
Yes. So tell us, actually, I don't know the story of how that thing started.
Yeah, so that thing started because my wife threatened me. It was one of those things. I have had family who's worked at Disney for years, and the family member had passed away, and it had always been a connection. So there was this void kind of in our family, and I had all this knowledge, and I was constantly – at the time, she was my fiancé, but I was constantly giving my wife like all these history things, and I was just – all these things I was learning, and she was like, if you don't find someplace else to put that, I'm going to cause you bodily harm. And I was like, well, okay. And, you know, it's one of those things you start – you think you have a ton of ideas, and then a month later you're like, and every idea I've had is gone now. Okay. Where do I go from here? And so it's had its bumps and it's you know, things along the way. But it's been an incredible journey, and you know, there's no end in sight for it as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you, man. I think it's an awesome, you know, thing to go to every day. You're always putting stuff up there.
Yeah.
And we're always sharing it in the group. Everyone always enjoys it. And just thank you for all the work that you do. I just want to know how appreciated you are and everything that you do for the Disney community.
Thank you. And it really, you know, that's what I love about it, is being able to share it with people and give them maybe something they didn't know, or give them something new to try. And I wouldn't be here if people weren't reading it. So,
yeah. Well, congratulations. Congrats, we're looking forward to the next years and years and years and years and years of the Gazette. And while we're at it, just remind everybody where they can find you on the Gazette.
So the Gazette proper is at mainstgazette.com. On Instagram and Twitter, it's mainstgazette. And then if you search Main Street Gazette on Facebook, you'll find us there.
There you go, folks. If you haven't already tabbed that page, go ahead and tab that page. It's always fun to read.
And now you can start planning your decade celebration for next year.
Yeah, I started having some thoughts that a couple of years ago, Eric Hoffman, who had helped me design kind of the look of the site years ago, we looked at a relaunch and like re-changing it up a little bit, making it a little bit more friendly, and that never happened. And so I think he and I are kind of maybe looking at that for the 10th, is to have something big, you know, have a big redesign, if nothing else.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That's
nice.
Cool.
Very cool.
Very, very cool. So actually going over to Brian. Brian, you haven't been here in a couple of weeks because I recorded a show while I was gone, and then last week was kind of ladies' week. So how you been?
I have been good. Just finishing up my last plans for the December trip. I had a few more reservations to make for the days you're not there. You guys aren't there, that I'm not with you, because we made all our reservations together for the dining. So I made those, and that's it. I'm just counting down the days to my Disney trip.
Add anything good?
Nothing. I added Via Napoli.
That's good, actually. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's what I thought about. After I said that, I was like, no, wait a second. I added something good. I had to do T-Rex for Kyle's birthday because that's where he likes. So I had to do T-Rex. I know.
He'll grow out of it, hopefully.
I know, hopefully. And there was one other, I honestly can't remember now where I added it, but I added another good place, another place for me that I wanted to go to. So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it was very good. Cool.
Yeah, we got to double check. We got to keep an eye on, because we're going to get close to our fast passes and all that kind of stuff.
That's not that much further out.
And there's all those rumblings about, new Magic Band technology actually coming in again. It's going to constantly evolve until something really, really hits, sticks really well. And you're going to have 100 options probably in a couple of years.
Yeah, well, what I like about the redesign, I mean, overall.
Well, let's talk. What is the redesign first?
The redesign, kind of makes it more like how I think it's like Fitbit or Apple Watch is, where you have the face of the watch. So in this case, it would be like the face of the Magic Band that has the, RFID chip in it and everything like that. And then that would be like your permanent one. And then you would have interchangeable bands. So it's pretty similar to what you have now, except you wouldn't have to necessarily get like reissued bands all the time, because you would have just that one, core square piece. And then if you wanted to buy new bands, you could. I'm kind of disappointed because I finally just got my own Magic Band for my birthday. So.
Well, you don't have to burn it. You can just,
But
and
just
also,
like,
you don't know how long it's going to be till those are regularly available.
That's true. I know they're just testing it, but still, it's like, come on.
Remember how long, the initial Magic Band took? By the time that we were aware of it to the actual implementation, that took a while on its own. And I would assume this is going to take just as long, because their test periods are extremely long to minimize the amount that goes wrong. There's always going to be something wrong when you run a business that's 24/7 with a million people coming in and out the door. But to try to minimize that is usually of a pretty high,
I just wonder how much testing they really need to do, because I don't know how much like the technology itself is changing between these new things. It's like, I know they're doing a couple new things, or they're supposed to be able to do a couple new things with it. But like, I wonder, since, the implementation of the Magic Band was so different than everything else, to now like just a minor tweak. I don't know.
Yeah, it depends on how the systems read it. I mean, is every turnstile going to know if you have one version or the other? And if so, then all those have to have that little difference in their code to then have that recognition passed on. But we don't know. Again, it's very early. There's a lot of changes going on, obviously, around the parks. And I saw some, Brian, actually, I think someone posted some construction photos in the group today of Hollywood Studios that looked pretty good. Like, stuff is a-moving.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm not positive who posted that, but it might have been Eric McMahon. I can't remember, but I'll take a look. But it looked like they were clearing some land.
Yeah, I know. Like,
it looks good.
Huge
down near the Streets of America. Like, the whole like San Francisco part is gone and stuff.
What a bummer! Because man, it really felt like you were going through San Francisco. Let me tell you, it didn't. Because I actually have now walked through San Francisco. There's some really great parts of San Francisco. There is some parts of San Francisco that make New York, like the worst parts of Manhattan, look like paradise.
Really?
So, yeah, it was. And I was staying in that area, actually. The hotel that I was put up in was quite nice. But the surrounding area, if I wasn't, 6 foot 240, I probably would have been like, huh, this is going to be fun. Eric McMahon was the one who put it up. And they're well into it.
Yeah, you can even see some of that construction from the road. Like, whenever we pass, you see, I think it's like the back of a, what's that?
Well, that's where the stunt show used to be.
Yeah, that stunt show.
Yeah, if you actually go in through the main entrance, which we never had until we moved here, because the way that you get to that main entrance is
like pretty I-4 much, or
yeah,
whatever.
You don't get to it through the inner circle of the ever-winding inner circle of the roads. But yeah, they're well on their way. There were rumors I had heard. Ryan, I want to say that I know it wasn't you who put it up, but I think you may have commented on it also. I thought I had read a rumor that one of the Star Wars restaurants might be open a lot sooner than a lot of the other stuff, maybe within the next year.
I haven't heard that. It wouldn't totally surprise me just to give guests something else to hold on to, especially with everything that's closing there. But with Pizza Rizzo opening, maybe that's gotten pushed back. I think what they really want to do is they want to open it all at one time. They don't want to piecemeal this out. So I'd be surprised if they did that. But, you know, to get to whet that appetite, I wouldn't be shocked if they did it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I do think that there's going to be a little bit that opens before it's all done, just because they've got to get something out on time. Or, you know, if the ground is almost flattened now, you got 2 years and a couple of months, and you would be able to say by the end of 2018. So that was where I originally thought it would fall, and I don't know. I'm still hoping for that date. I'm still pushing for that date.
Do you think?
I'm thinking if we see anything, we're going to see Toy Story actually open before Star Wars to give people that to hold them over until the bigger piece is done.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. Yeah, I think Toy Story is going to come first. It's been like so far under the radar, but yeah, I think that one might be a.
But then, what would you say? When do you think Toy Story is going to hit?
I think Toy Story might be like either spring or fall, winter of 2018, and then maybe 2019, 2020 is Star Wars.
I don't think it's going to be that.
Well,
I don't think they can take 4 years.
Yeah, I don't think 2020, but I think they're doing the construction at the same time, so maybe it'll be like within a year of each other, or 6 months, hopefully.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, you look at the delays they had with Pandora, and hopefully they've gotten their systems fixed from that, but. Yeah, I would think probably late 2018, early 2019 probably is when we actually see it.
Wasn't also Pandora had a lot of issues just because of agreeing on what Pandora was going to be, wasn't? I mean, that was a big issue with that place.
Yeah, part of it was that, and part of it was just because then they started changing pieces, and they started. So if they have a true vision for Star Wars and they keep moving on it, I mean, we've seen what's happening in Disneyland. Disneyland's already starting to build up, so
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, Disneyland is moving at a really fast pace, obviously because they have to, because it's such a large swatch of very important land. Like Disney World, you can say like, oh, well, there's a lot of other things to do with Disneyland. You want to not in Hollywood Studios.
No, I know. But I'm saying like, yeah, in Disneyland, like there's not other park options really.
Yeah,
like,
well,
not like
California,
here.
But yeah, not like three
other options, you know, kind of thing.
So yeah, very interesting, very exciting to see all that coming along. The new trailer for Rogue One came out a couple weeks ago or so. I thought it was great. Looking forward to that one. Yep. I don't trust trailers anymore, but you know, it's a sharp looking trailer, but man, the trailer game has changed. It used to somewhat be accurate of the film you were going to see, and it just is not anymore. So, all right, Mel, why don't we talk about, before we get into the bigger piece of this, why don't we talk about where we went, two nights ago?
Saturday, yeah.
Saturday night. Where did we go?
We went to Blaze Pizza in Disney Springs.
Mm-hmm.
I super enjoyed it.
You super enjoyed it?
I did.
All right, well, why don't you tell the people first what kind of a pizzeria it is?
Well, it's kind of a mesh. It's the pizza version of like Moe's or Subway. Like you get to design, you don't have to, but you can design. The big like fun part is designing your own pizza. So basically like you pick your crust, get like the original, or Pete got like the high rise one. And then you pick your sauce, you pick your cheese, you pick your toppings, you do the whole bit. And then they put it in the oven for you. And in less than 3 minutes, you got your pizza. So that's like their big thing. It's, you know, flash fired, whatever kind of thing. So it's nice and quick. And I like the fact that you can like put whatever you want on it. So,
and the cost was pretty good.
Yeah. If you get like the regular crust, it was $9.95. It's $2 extra if you get the high rise crust, or I think they have a gluten free option also. That's $2 extra.
Heresy.
But if you wanted to just order a regular, what they call a signature pizza, like their pre-made stuff, that's also $9.95. So you can kind of be like, okay, I'm going to just get the one that you already made or do your own for the same price pretty much.
Yeah, and the build your own, you can kind of go nuts. There are a lot of toppings. There are a lot of veggies if you want to ruin it. There's a lot of different cheeses, a lot of different sauces.
Someone hitting the sauce. The show.
And all right, let's get into how the food is. Well, let's, you know, they have a couple of signature pies, which I know I ordered. Basically, I ordered a version of the meat lover, which is pepperoni, meatballs, red onion, mozzarella, and red sauce. I then said, get rid of the onions, put on bacon. They didn't. They just took off the red onion and was like, well, yeah, that's great that you wanted it, but I don't know. They forgot to put it on or whatever, and I was really hungry. So that's on me because I didn't go back and say, hey, you, this isn't right. What did you wind up getting, Melissa?
I made my own. So I did. I got the spicy sauce, but the woman there said it was very spicy. So she actually mixed the spicy sauce with their regular red sauce, and it was good, and it was spicy. So I was happy she mixed it because, Brian, you know us with the spice. If it's spicy for us, it's definitely spicy. So the mix was good. They had pesto sauce and everything, which I definitely want to try next time. Then I got the mozzarella cheese, which, you know, they dolefully measured out, which is, you know, a little weird. But
all right,
whatever.
Well, wait a minute. Let's...
Well, that might be a if they're flash frying it in 3 minutes, they might need to be a little lighter on the cheese, maybe.
That's great. Then you know what? Yeah. Let mine cook for 4.
Yeah. No, I'm guessing. I'm playing the opposite side here.
No. And that's the thing. That's a good point. I actually did not think of it when I was at the place. That's a good point. They are sort of light with the cheese. And I don't know about you, but that destroys a pizza for me.
But yeah, I don't know. I thought it still tasted good. I also put goat cheese on mine a little bit, and that was yummy. I know, you can give me all the licks you want. It was yummy.
I don't know. You just throw some kale on there if you want as well.
No, I did throw spinach. I threw spinach, mushrooms, olives.
Just have a salad and go home.
No, because when you cook it, it's all delicious. I forgot what else. Oh, I got cherry tomatoes. It was so good.
Okay, my thing isn't the ingredients are fine. I thought the cheese was skimpy. I liked the crust, actually, which is really very important to me.
Yeah.
And I got the high-rise crust. I wouldn't have wanted the regular crust.
I didn't mind the regular crust. It wasn't like a thin, crispy one like you would like think.
Okay, like California Pizza Kitchen. Which,
yeah. Blah, blah, blah. It was still like soft and...
doughy?
Not too doughy. But I think I would have liked the high-rise one.
Yeah, the high-rise was good. My problem is it was pizza. That's really, like, my review is it's pizza. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that stuck out to it for me. I have no inclination to really go back. It was like, yes, this is fine. If other people want to go, I'd be like, yeah, I'll go. For the price, I thought you got a lot of food.
That's
I will definitely say, especially for that area now, you know, there's a lot of restaurants. Right. There's a lot of different values. This is a good value. You're going to get a good size. I was going to make a size of my hand, like you can see it. it's a good size pie for a single individual. I absolutely believe that. But it is pizza. It's just pizza.
But it's good though for like from a New Yorker who's saying it's pizza and it's good. Like that's good for Florida. Like
I didn't say.
Well, I mean, it's not like New York pizza, but it's edible pizza in Florida. I mean, you could at least say that.
Oh. Yeah, I guess.
We haven't had non-edible pizza. We also haven't had pizza outside of Disney, so.
I had a pizza at a movie theater, and it was the dumbest experience I've ever had being in Florida. I don't know what I was thinking.
I forgot. They ordered pizza at work, and they were like, oh, we're going to order pizza for your birthday. You know, we'll get like 4 pies. And I'm thinking, 4 pies? Holy cow. But I remembered it's Pizza Hut pizza. So, yeah, 4 pies.
I remember the trip before that we went. We went to the Target over there or whatever it is. That's not far from Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Okay.
And they have a pizza place there, and they say, like, real New York pizza. So my mom goes in there because this is my mom. And she goes in there. She's like, let me see the pizza. And she sees the pizza. She's like, that's not real New York pizza. And then she's like, we're not ordering. And then she walked out.
I will say, actually, in all the strange places, I found a really good pizza joint in San Francisco. It was called Escape from New York Pizza. It was in the Hate, which is the big hippie area. Used to be the, well, still is, actually. Not used to, still is. And they had actually a legit New York tasting pizza. It would have fit well in Penn Station. Like that, they even had it. I don't know if they were going for the filthy look, but they kind of got it. But it was good. Actually, it was really good. The place was clean. It just only had like that look to it. The only weird thing was they had a really huge picture of Eminem of Mantle and Maris. But then they also had a picture of Tin Lincecum. So, you know, whatever. Yeah, I guess. We'll throw that out there. My review of Blaze Pizza is it's pizza. Yay. I don't know. Go to Via Napoli or go get a burger from Deluxe Burger because them pretty damn good burgers. But Melissa, I know you have a different opinion.
Yeah, because the build your own. I mean, you can be as creative as you want. Like the girl in front of me, she was going insane. She put like pesto on one half and red sauce on the other. And then she built like two separate pies. They have like all sorts of cheese so you can make yourself like a white pizza. So I don't know. I like the versatility of it. And I like all those different types of pizzas. And I like veggies on mine because it's delicious. So,
but the thing
do
about
you guys have Pizza Huts down there?
We do,
but I haven't okay. gone.
That was okay. what no, we ordered just, at I, work. Yeah, no.
Okay, good. At least you have a Pizza Hut. Okay.
You know what? That's my last resort. But I actually don't mind Pizza Hut because I understand it's not actual pizza.
Oh, of course not.
It's something.
No, yeah.
It's something else. It's I don't even know what it is.
Of stuff.
Yeah. It's like a really elaborate mozzarella stick. Like that's my review. But that's a good review. That's
it's
a good review.
It's bread.
Yeah. Okay, so Blaze Pizza, give it a whirl, and then maybe you'll go back. Maybe you won't.
You probably won't.
I like it.
Glowing review.
I'm
glowing review. Melissa really liked it, though. I'll give it another whirl eventually. Like you said, like the white pizza thing, and I love white pizza. But you know what I love about white pizza? The cheese. And if I could see 80% of the pie, that's not good.
No, but they put it on the ricotta cheese, and I think that's when they throw on like the little mozzarella balls.
And then it melts onto it?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try that one out. I don't know. When I can see too
go
much...
Go to Jock's. Go to Jock's.
Yeah.
For a few hours. Then go get the pizza.
Okay. Great. Just get it. Let's have like half a bite. I'll be like, yeah, it was great. I'll find the one piece with actual cheese on it.
And they put Jock's on tables in Wonderland, so we're done.
Oh, yeah, that was a weird sentence at first. Yes.
Sorry.
Jock's is now part of Tables in Wonderland, which is cool.
Yeah.
No Trader Sam's yet, though, which we're kind of hoping for, but nothing yet.
Yeah.
And that also makes me wonder if Jock's needs that.
I don't know when they need air conditioning.
Woof, man. Guys, you are in Florida.
Up that game.
We know that air conditioning in Florida, in Disney, can be... the Arctic, and they have it that it's like visiting just the worst apartment in Queens that just has like a broken air conditioner, but they got a box fan, they blow it outside and they're like, oh, it blows the cool air in like that.
Yeah.
Remember that insane asylum?
Yeah, you're blowing the hot air outside
to let the cool air in. That's mm-hmm. Oh my God. When it's 106, that does not make sense. That's basically what it feels like in there, though. It's kind of uncomfortable. All right, let's go into the second half, really, I guess, of the show, and that is I had the opportunity recently to spend a couple of weeks in San Francisco, the tale of two cities, and get to spend two full days over at the Walt Disney Family Museum. I was there for job training. For a job I took recently, and the museum was about a 20-minute Uber ride for me. So it was only about $4.50 to get out there. If you do the pool, Uber pool, which means you share a car with somebody, you know, eventually somewhere down the line. It doesn't usually matter. It adds maybe like 5-10 minutes to your trip, depending on how far it is. But it also saves you about 50% of the cost. So I did that every time. I was able to spend the first day I arrived up there was on a Sunday, and I went there for about 5 hours, but my camera died about halfway through. So I knew I was going to go back again, and I actually returned the next Sunday, I believe, or Saturday.
Yeah.
And I was there again for about 6 hours or so. I walked through the main museum about four times, and I got to go through the Pinocchio exhibition that they had over there as well. Only once, though. It was a separate ticketed thing for $10 additional, but I got like $2 off of my ticket from being a D23 member, so that really saved me a lot. Thanks, guys. The main museum will probably take you 3 to however long you want it to take, hours. There is a ton to see. There's a ton to read. There's a ton to listen to. And all of it, if you're a fan of Disney, especially Walt Disney himself, it is fascinating. Know that going in, though, because I feel like some people would think this is a just a Disney museum, like a Walt Disney Park museum.
Uh-huh.
And it's not that. It is about the man himself. You know, his daughter, Diane Miller, was the one who founded the museum, and she passed, I want to say, almost 2 years ago now. Is that right, Ryan, around 2 years ago?
I think that's right.
It's around that area. But her influence is still, you know, heavily felt over there. And so I'm going to give you guys a little bit of what it was like to go there. What were some of my favorite things that I saw? If you want to, and I would suggest this because there's so much visually going on in this place. If you go to our website, lastgenpodcast.com, and you click on the section, the banner that says Mouse Telegram, that's our little Disney blog area, I actually uploaded around 165-ish photos in a blog entry called the Walt Disney Family Museum Photo Collection. And you can go through there. I have it broken up into galleries, and each gallery are the different rooms within the museum. The great thing is, you can look through these all day. There's 1,000 things I didn't get a photo of. The place is very interesting in the way that when it first opened, there were no photos allowed. We actually learned this recently from Becky Mankin.
Yes.
And it was only after a little while that I guess people started feeling a little bit perved because they wouldn't be able to take a photo. But then as soon as you exit the museum, there's books of photos of the stuff you saw that you could buy. So I think that struck people a little bit the wrong way. And eventually they changed it. They said, okay, you can take photos, but no flash, obviously, because, it's kind of like, it's an art museum in a lot of ways. The overlying issue, though, when you go through the place and you want to take photos is there's different types of glass that like a museum would use. Normally, you would use glass that has no reflection. It's actually called museum glass. This is not that. There are reflections on everything. And it seems done very smartly on purpose to make it very difficult to get a lot of photos. So when you look through these photos, if something is in a display case, if there isn't a reflection on it, it means I had my body in the oddest way to try to shoot around them. But a lot of the photos, you're going to notice that you can see like reflections of glass and stuff like that. So a lot of the photos are actually taken on an angle to try to get not only my own reflection out of the way, but just that of the lights behind me and everything. So
I just thought that was you being artsy.
It sort of was, but it was more happy accident. Because that is normally, I like taking different angles on photos that I shoot. So it was kind of a natural thing, but it became a mandatory thing. pretty much after the first room, I started realizing it. I was like, oh, everything's bouncing. Like, everything is bouncing. So the place opens up, the museum itself opens up on a timeline of Walt's life. I mean, you start in Marceline, and you build all the way up to his eventual passing. Every room tells a very specific story about the time in his life and what went wrong and what went right, which was good. I was curious about avoiding certain subjects, but they do cover briefly, but they do cover the strike in good detail. Okay. And there's a room that's largely dedicated to Fantasia.
Ooh.
It actually has a multiplane camera there, which from the floor that you are on, you're seeing the top of it. And then when you make your way to the very bottom of the museum, actually in the gift shop, you are at the foot of it. Those are 3 floors away from each other, though.
Wow.
Or 2 floors. Wow. I think it was 1 or 2. It may have been the 1 floor of the lobby, but the floor of the lobby was a very, very, very high ceiling. So it was really cool, like being able to see it in its full scope, its full size, you know, within hand's reach of you. And that room also, though, really focused on the fact that Fantasia did not take off. It had a lot, you know, it was a lot of different interviews and whatnot, and they focused around how it just it didn't make its money because, A, the number of theaters that could carry it correctly were very minimum, so it became more of a roadshow. And the ones who did see it just didn't know what to expect. But the ones who knew what to expect, it got great reviews. You know, there were a couple of theaters where that film ran for over a year.
Oh, wow.
Which I was unaware of.
That's crazy. Mm.
Yeah, but that was the kind of thing that would happen back then. I remember, though, also when Aladdin was out, Aladdin was in the theaters for more than a year, which that does not happen anymore. No. You know, you might get like 6 months if you're crazy.
Star Wars.
Something like that. the one or two films a year might go for a couple of months.
Yeah.
You know, back then, if you had a hit, you were sitting pretty for quite a while. Yeah. So it was very interesting seeing that. It was very interesting hearing a lot of the stories from people, but even more so hearing it from Walt himself. One of the best features of this museum that I just really enjoyed was the audio way of understanding panels and whatnot of what you saw. There were some stations set up where you would literally pick up like the end of a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what time of era in his life it was, it mattered on the phone.
Oh, that's cool.
So, you know, in the Marceline section when he was a kid, it's just an earpiece and you just pick it up and put it to your ear.
Oh, cool.
So it was really, really cool. And then when you pick it up, the recording would start usually right from the beginning. There was a couple that went on infinite loops, though, that I noticed where you might catch it in the middle. One of them in particular being Walt telling the story about losing Oswald and taking the train back, you know, back and writing the telegram to Roy saying, don't worry about it. You know, I'll be back. Nothing to worry about. And then later on, it was like a regular phone that you would lift to your ear. So it was very, very cool. And hearing him tell the story as it's sort of surrounded by you was really, really great. And they also had a number of recordings from, like, you know, people like Alice Davis, Mark Davis, everyone you can imagine. They even had some of Roy, which I feel like I don't hear Roy's voice very much except for when he did the dedication for Walt Disney World, and that's pretty much it. So there was a really nice couple of spots for him. Now, I'm not going to say anything specific about it because I think it's something you've got to experience. I was really thrilled to be able to go here. I never really knew when I was going to be able to get it myself out here. And to be able to go twice, you know, in the matter of 2 weekends was really something. You got to see right in front of you the original sketches of Mickey, the earliest known sketches of Mickey, who, as someone pointed out on the website, on our page on Facebook, he still has that Mortimer kind of look to him at that point, you know, and then he evolves there. There's a lot of great detail dedicated to the friendship of Ub Iwerks and Walt Disney. There's even a handwritten letter from Walt to Ub, which it's just great. Like, having that stuff in front of you, there's so much just timeless stuff that it's really incredible. But then it's mixed with modern technology to make it more interactive and everything. One of my favorite pieces was original cell art from the band concert, actually, as I just bring it up on my page right now. There was stuff like that all over the place, original art, you know, interviews that I had never heard before, maquettes, character detail sheets, tons of animations and cells, and just everything you could think of. But then it would be something as simple but fascinating as the menu from when Walt Disney Studios first opened, you know, for the cafeteria. You think about, like, oh, my God, that was something that somebody had. You know, they picked it up and just picked up their lunch. They never thought anything of it except that they were getting lunch. But now it's a museum piece.
See, this is why I don't throw anything away.
That's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. One of the best rooms that you could spend probably forever. You could spend an entire day in this one particular room. It had if you look at the galleries, it is there's Marceline. There's the opening, Marceline. Experiments, Alice's Comedies, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the ninth gallery. I can't remember the specific name of the room right off the top of my head. I have the map somewhere, but I'll look for it later. It had an interactive touchscreen that you kind of sit inside, and you could just hit all of these options for all the movies that were made pretty much during the 50s, which, and the TV shows and everything else, and live action films. Now, we've been covering that recently, and you know that that's a real golden era of Disney. You know, there's so much that happened during that time. And you were able to just sit in this little blue globe and have this touch screen in front of you, and then the information would pop up in front of you, and the sound enveloped around you. So you couldn't hear the sound that was going on outside oh so much when you had something playing in there. And it just had a list of films and a list of trips. It was like Walt Disney trips, Walt Disney food, all this stuff that you could just go on and on and on and on for hours. I spent about an hour in there and then realized, like, man, I gotta go. just because, you know, I didn't know how much more there was of the museum. And I found myself just absolutely locked in place in this one room. And then they had a camera from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Mm-hmm. And that was it. I was done for like another 15 minutes just staring at a camera. actually, I put a duplicate photo in here, too. You have a lot of very personal touches from Walt Disney as well. His cufflink watch, or his cuff watch, I think he called it. His own personal little camera. The autograph cards that he used to hand out in Disneyland, like all the stuff that he just touched himself, all these personal touches, some family photos.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what you go through this really beautiful open passageway, which I don't have photos of because it was so bright. but you can actually see the Golden Gate Bridge perfectly from there also as you're going through this one opened up area. And when you reach the end of that hallway, you have the park bench, one of the park benches from Griffith Park. And you're able to sit in it. You know, it's not blocked off or anything. And, of course, fittingly so, once you move past that bench, you go into what I would just call the Disneyland room. There is a massive model of Disneyland right there for you to look at, all the little details. It's spotlit with narration, you know, going over all the different lands and how they were implemented. And Ryan, I thought you would really dig this. They don't have a car from the Carrollwood Pacific. They have like 10 cars or something like that, back to back, all together, including the head car of the Lily Bell. I forget what you would call that,
the engine.
I don't know. Would you?
Oh, if it's the front, yeah, the locomotive.
I guess. Why not?
Yeah. Didn't you go on a train tour?
Yeah, but that was weeks ago when I did a show about it. I don't have to remember anything anymore. It was insane to see. Like, I've seen a train car from the Carrollwood Pacific Room that they have in Wilderness, but this was – you could picture somebody riding on this.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it's just out of arm's reach, this one, which is probably a good idea.
yeah, because then you'd have everyone trying to sit on it, and then it's a whole other –
I was really surprised by the amount that people weren't being overly touchy with certain things that they could have been. I think they also do a really good job of keeping that stuff out of hands' reach.
Right.
Or, you know, just behind glass. They also, though, set up a lot of spots where you're supposed to touch and get involved. Like, one thing in particular was these sound stations were set up where you would put on headphones and you would have to listen to a piece of music and then match up what you think movie it matches with best. Now, of course, if you know all the movies and you know all the shorts, you kind of know the answer already. But some parts you may not know. You may not know a certain piece of music. And it would explain to you, if you got it right or wrong, why it's the right one or why it's a wrong one. You know, oh, no, this needs more of a dramatic tone. So you want something a little, you know, scarier or whatever, you know, more dramatic and this and that. So it was great having those things to sit down at, some of them, and just to stop and take your time with, because it made you get more and more out of the stay.
That's awesome.
So it was just really something from start to finish. I was absolutely enthralled. I am going back to San Francisco in a week and a half. I do not know what free time I will have outside of work, but if I do have time, I'm gonna go again. And there's a lot of things I could do, but I'm gonna do this again. Because just looking through the photos, thank God I took them. And I also wrote down an entire notebook worth of notes just to remind myself. If not for the photos, though, I would have forgotten so much already. Because you are just getting hit room after room after room. Oh, you know what? I totally forgot this. I remember actually I sent Ryan, I sent you a photo of this as soon as I saw the maquettes for the original maquettes.
Yeah.
For Toad and Co. I was just like, oh my God, I wish people were here with me. Like that was one of those moments where I really wished like everyone was there with me because I wasn't expecting that specific thing. Mm. And I just got such a kick out of that. They also had the original model for the Carousel of Progress. One of the rooms, the living room scene.
Yeah, that was great.
And I was just, no one else. What the great thing was hearing other people think they knew what it was in a lot of parts of this museum and not knowing what it was. Actually, in particular, when I was in the Fantasia room, they had the maquettes of Bacchus and one of the centaurs, I think. I think it was just one of the centaurs.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
And there was a group of people next to me, and one of them – and now, look, yeah, it's on the title cards. Like, you just got to read, and it'll tell you. But, if you're excited and you're looking at a lot of stuff, you might miss those details sometimes. And the guy was like, oh, where's this from? And his friend was like, us from Hercules. And I actually said – I was like – actually, I'm like, it's from Fantasia, actually. You know, you can see it right there. It's – you got the other stuff. They're like, oh, okay, cool. But Carousel of Progress, I heard somebody say, I have no idea what that is. And they just like walked right by it. And that was right next to a workable tiki room bird that you could use. I think it was Fritz. No, it wasn't. I forget who it was. Who's the blue one again with the hat? I always get their names wrong. Anyway.
The Barker bird?
Was it the Barker bird?
Well, if it had a hat.
It did have a hat.
It would have to be the Barker bird.
I believe it probably was Barker Bird Tiki Room. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is the Barker Bird. My photo actually has some weird colors going on, so he's a little hidden in there. This place also was built with the idea of, you can't use a flash. Good luck. That was the truth in a number of rooms as well. And then right next to the Barker Bird was the original torso of the Abe Lincoln animatronic that was used in the World's Fair. Along with a head sculpt of him as well. Just all this crazy, crazy detail. But you should also be really careful of what you're looking at and maybe thinking it's original. There's a lot of facsimiles on certain things, paper in particular, like handwritten notes. There's even a really interesting one was, it was a personally inscribed book of Mary Poppins from the publisher to Walt. Uh-huh. Now, what's weird is if you look very closely, and this photo is in the collection as well, at first I was like, oh, wow, that's incredible. And then I read and it said facsimile, real page behind or something like that was the description. I was like, huh. And I looked at the book and yeah, the front page was much newer than everything else because that was a facsimile. But the page was just separated enough from the page behind it that I was able to kind of look from the top down, and that was the real page because it had the handwriting on it.
Oh, cool.
So it was really kind of like a weird, it was like, oh, no, that's not – the original thing is not what I'm looking at, but the original is right behind it.
Just to maybe preserve it.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, I don't know if it was because the light would be too intense for the –
right.
The handwriting and it would fade eventually. That was the only thing I could think of. But it was really weird seeing that second page just enough where I was like, oh, there it is. It was kind of a weird little thing to see. Leaving, though, the Disneyland room is the room where you're starting to lead up to Walt passing. And you know it's coming. Now, I had no idea what this room looked like. And if you know you're going to go to the museum, maybe skip that last gallery of photos that I have, actually. Maybe you want to skip that. And I'm actually not going to really go into great detail of what that last room is like because I think you should sort of experience it for yourself. But it's very respectfully done. they have some very personal items leading up to, like, the final room, I guess I would call it. But then in the final room, there's nothing museum-y about it. Like, there's nothing behind glass that was like, oh, this was a personal thing, or oh, this is from a movie. It was just sort of a room that was largely empty, that you just heard voices and watched some images. And they had another listening booth set up there where it was a number of, you know, Disney artists and Imagineers speaking about, you know, the last time they spoke to Walt. So obviously I was very – they had the Mark Davis one, which is kind of – I would say the most famous one probably, because his was the story where – Ryan, how does it go? Walt said goodbye when he was usually just say, like, see you tomorrow or something like that.
Yeah, never told him goodbye, and he could definitely tell that, you know, he was putting affairs in order and he was telling people bye, and that – that would be the last time that he saw him, and he realized that kind of in passing, and would go back to his office and just kind of and let it soak in.
Yeah, so you actually get to pick up another little phone receiver and listen, you know, to Mark Davis actually tell that story, which you'd probably heard it before, but being in there in that situation after spending however many hours like reading about this man's life from, you know, from a boy to, you know, to the end of his life, It has an even bigger impact then. And then, of course, you exit out into a gift shop. Sort of. It's like two steps away, but it's kind of exiting into a gift shop.
Yeah.
But a really nice gift shop, to be said. I really wanted to buy a hoodie in there, but then I remembered I live in Florida.
Yeah, that's...
You could have bought it for me.
Your hoodie wearing days are done, my friend.
They're done.
You'll get like 2 days in February, and that'll be the end
of that.
That's
what I was thinking. I was trying to justify it. I really was. I was like, you know, no, it might be cold. It might be cold like one night or a couple of nights. And I was like, no, this is dumb. Like, just buy the hat, and you'll be fine.
You'll learn is it's a wet cold in Florida, so it doesn't matter how many layers you put on, it's cutting through them all.
Aww.
Like, that's what you're looking forward to.
Fine. You know what? I'll take it. Any sort of cold, I'm willing to take right now. Because it is relentless. Right now, it's relentless. I woke up, the doors to the deck, I could not see through them.
Yeah, I had that a couple times.
They were so fogged up. I was like, I am not going outside. And I didn't. I stayed inside. Working remotely from home now gives me that option where if I just want to literally stay indoors all day and get paid for it, I can. I don't know. I wanted you all here because it was weird. Like, I could have just done this as a solo episode, but just think, you know, did you have any questions that you wanted to ask? Because I feel like a lot of people who listen to the show will probably have a question. I definitely won't know what the hell it was, and I wanted to answer as much as I could. So, Melissa, you put your hand up, which is, yeah, great. You want to go first?
Yeah, well, you said there was a Pinocchio exhibit, and you couldn't take pictures of that. So.
Pinocchio!
Can you tell us more about that, please?
Yes, I can. All right, so the Pinocchio exhibition. Number one, what was really cool about this was that it wasn't in the same building.
Okay.
You actually had to go down like a little pathway, which had little stars on the pathway as you went. And all I kept thinking was, oh, that's right. It never rains here. So these will never, ever go away. it actually gives you an incredible view of the Golden Gate Bridge. Once you start going towards that building, it's really, really gorgeous.
Cool.
So the Pinocchio exhibit, not allowed to take pictures, but you can write stuff. So I'm telling you right now, I'm reading all this from a book that I kept while I was there. This is just some of the stuff. They basically go through the different aspects of making the movie. Like, how did this come to be? What are all the stages? So the very first thing that you walk into is a room, and it's basically titled One Night a Long Time Ago. This is where you learn about the original book. And they actually had a 1911 copy of the Collodi book. And I wrote down, it was a bright blue green. And Pinocchio was actually wearing, a bright blue color. And Pinocchio was actually wearing green. But it looked hand painted, like the front of this book. Like, it was that kind of ink. It may have been, for all I know.
Yeah.
They actually had the continuity script from 1938.
Oh, wow.
It was really cool. And it was, you know, all it was typed out, and it was bound with like these screw ties. So it looked like the top of a screw, but then it went through the whole binding and then opened up at the other side. And it was actually dated September 21st, 1938. So you've got like a really, really specific thing about that. You had a lot of storyboards, the original storyboards that they used. Lampy smoking, the waking of Monstro, all that kind of stuff. Actual storyboard cards that they used towards the thing. One of them was actually, you know, now I'll never be a real boy.
Uh-huh.
Was actually one of them. Going past that, you actually went downstairs, which was – this place was a little weird. You went upstairs for the first half, and then you went into the lobby that you entered, and then downstairs for the second half.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting setup. I guess it just – that's the way it worked the best. So in there, you basically start with the design and the inspirational art. You had a whole bunch of examples of the concept art, model sheets for Pinocchio, like the originals. So they had also all the original designs for him.
Oh, wow.
Where he looked incredibly annoying.
I love looking at those because you always see like the evolution of a character, like even like just a current one, like when you see the evolution of Elsa, like when she had like dark, crazy hair and stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah, and actually they had all the evolution of Pinocchio by Milt Kahl, like all the different versions that worked up to that. Even more of, no, not as more, as it was a lot of Pinocchio, but there was even a couple of examples of what the original Jiminy looked like.
More Geppetto, insect-like, right?
Yeah, more, very more insect. Like from the cartoon. Ryan, what's the cartoon? Ants and Grasshoppers? Is that is where he's lazy and he's just like playing his fiddle?
Yeah.
That's it. He looked a lot more like that.
When I was teaching the SATs, that was one of the stories that we would always read, and I would always think of that cartoon.
Okay, nice, cool.
That's how I knew it.
Geppetto didn't go through very much, though. He had a couple of different changes, but they seemed to get to him a lot quicker in doing that. They also then had an area just called Geppetto's Workshop, where it actually had reproductions of some of the cuckoo clocks.
Oh, that's so cool.
Which was, it was really, really cool. They had a publicity marionette of Pinocchio. They had the Chloe character model, the Monstro character model that was made in 1938. It was huge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it like huge as in it would be the size of like a four to five foot table.
Oh, wow.
You know, like it was really, really big. Then they had a whole section of layout art, which was a lot of cell art, pencil tests for Stromboli, rough animation by Ollie Johnson of Pinocchio Awakening, which was really great. And then they had a video audio of some of the pencil tests, and it would be spoken over by Fred Moore. So,
Who was that again?
Fred Moore was one of the animators also. Okay. So just you got like so much of this interactive, you know, you just feel like you're with the people as they're making it. It was really, really cool. They had another multiplane setup over there as well, and it actually demonstrated, you know, how the camera would move a little bit as on top of it. So I spent about 45 minutes to an hour in there.
Wow.
And there was a lot more than I just even said. And if you have the chance, I absolutely think you should go in there as too. So, yeah, thank you for reminding me as I hit the mic 18 times with this book. Did anyone else, like, have anything they wanted to just kind of a question or a curiosity about the museum, anything you could think of?
I think one thing that I've been curious about, because I can remember back when they announced this and they brought it out, and I was in touch with the museum, and they were sending, you know, out these press gallery by gallery of what it was going to look like. You know, we're 7 years on almost now from when it opened. I was curious how much of those themes had held over the years, and it seems like almost verbatim from what you're describing is what they released then. So it's nice to see that they've held to that theme of, you know, wanting to identify Walt the man, not necessarily Walt the public image we all have of him.
Yeah, no, it had a very hard focus on that, but also while knowing that people want to come in and see Disney stuff,
right.
I think was, you know, a very smart and conscious decision. So, you know, and even while I was there from one weekend to the next, I remember I was watching, you know, it's a very produced video, but that video of Walt, like, Walt and the musicians coming up with the Big Bad Wolf song.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know that's not real. That's not actually how it happened, but it's a cool little piece. But below that screen was a little glass box, and it was empty. And I thought to myself, I wonder what this is. Like, am I supposed to look through it or something weird? Because it just seemed very out of place. I went there the next week, and it was the actual models for the Three Little Pigs. I was like, oh, they were just being worked on. So, you know, sometimes, you know, a box is just a box. Nothing more, nothing less. They've definitely kept the integrity of what they originally wanted it to. I think that with the passing of Diane, I don't think that that's ever going to change either. Because yeah. if it was ever going to take an artistic shift, it would have been implemented by her. And now that she is not there to implement it, I think that everyone who – whomever is running that now – I think Ron is he not?
Yeah, I believe Ron is, yeah. Ron is high up there.
So I don't think that they would ever do anything not only to honor Walt's memory but really hers because, you know, Roy finished Disney World. She made this.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of her Disney World, I think, in a way. And there's a lot of respect thrown to her and Roy in particular, which, you know, as big fans, I know we all really love that, especially with Roy. And it just – it's such an experience. It's such a great experience. I can't wait to go again. And I really hope, you know, when we go to, you know, Disney or whatnot, whenever we get to go over there, it's only an hour and a half flight. And that flight was very cheap. I think it's worth taking a trip up there. If you're going to Disneyland, take an extra 3 days. It's only an hour and a half flight. Drive up one night, stay the night. You know, drive up in the afternoon. The next morning, go to the museum. You have 2 full days at the museum maybe. Then, you know, fly home the next day. It's a perfect cap off to your trip to Disneyland, or it's a perfect kickoff. I think it works on either way. Mm-hmm. Because after going through that Disneyland room and stuff, you're going to want to go to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Like, I just wanted to jump on a plane and be like, Jeff, my buddy down there, be like, Jeff, I'm coming down. Just give me a couch. you know, I'll be down there in a couple hours. I was ready to jump on a plane and go and check that out immediately afterwards. So, Bri, did you have anything you wanted to – it's a weird thing to ask because it's like a classroom, but I was just curious because now that I've been there, I can't think of what someone else would ask, you know, would want to know.
Well, I mean, I really like that they touched on – like they went through everything. They didn't just – it wasn't all just the good things. It was some of the bad things that I found really interesting that they did that, you know, and it looks like they didn't just gloss over it. There's some – with that strike stuff, there's some of those, like, those, I guess, like, strike, those are probably signs and stuff that people were holding up, like, some of the slogans and stuff.
Yeah, those are just, you know, yeah, reproductions of signs that people would hold up. And then there was a number of news articles that kind of covered the strike itself, and they had a lot of personal audio from Walt when you went over there. So it was, you know, it followed the Fantasia thing, and it was right there, and it was by itself. Yeah. So it was, you know, it was in a room with other stuff, but it was like the strike area. You had to get through the strike to then go into the area that was El Grupo. Excuse me, El Grupo, the war effort. Which
yeah, that was the other thing I had. I was like, how much of that, like the war effort stuff was there? Was it just a little section of it or?
I literally took a picture of that section. Like that picture that I took is the section. Yeah.
That's what I had a feeling that's what it was.
But, you know, for what it was, they had a lot of great stuff. I mean, that is. I'm looking at the picture right now. That is the entire section. but, you know, they were showing the propaganda cartoons and the original poster for De Fuhrer's face and stuff. So.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, there are more photos I took in that area, but that area, in particular the El Grupo area, was very, very dimly lit. I did not have a tripod with me, and those photos came out blurry because I can only blow up the ISO so much before it's just a grainy mess on the current camera that I have. So,
The only other thing, I just love that they have the Jell-O and the chili and
yeah. Oh!
Like, menus and stuff like that. Like, that's just great stuff.
That's, you know what? And you brought up a great thing that I totally forgot about. The cafeteria there, the eating area there is inspired by that stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I got a Sloppy Joe.
Nice.
Like, for lunch. Like, it was good. Like, it was a kind of an above average Sloppy Joe. And the other thing I got was a pulled pork sandwich, and it was absolutely delicious. And both times I got it with a root beer. But not like fountain drink root beer. It was a bottle of root beer that you had to pull the tab away and then up. And then it popped off. And actually, I think I put a picture up of it on my page when I was eating there for lunch.
Yeah.
But it was incredibly delicious. I think it was imported from like Australia or something crazy like that. So it was made with like real sugar, and it you felt like real sugar. But it was great, and the prices for that was not bad. I got my whole lunch, the sandwich, the drink, and a cookie for $12.
Oh, wow.
You know, where that easily could have been the $18, $19 range.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, but they'll get you other places. Don't worry.
Yeah,
the gift shop is deadly. You know, I bought this notebook here, and I think I paid like $20 for it. It's a bit much. if you can make it, you know, multiple trips, I would highly suggest it. But go, know that you're going to be there for a couple of hours, and just take your time. There's a lot to see. There's a lot of great stuff to see. And that area of San Francisco, the Presidio, is really nice. Probably the nicest area that I was in San Francisco. Like, they picked the location for that place.
Cool.
And there's always something going on the lawn. It's a lot of kale, a lot of organic stuff, and frisbees and football. But you know what? It's fun. At least they look like they're having fun. I have no idea. I didn't go over there. I just kind of stayed near where I was. So did anyone else want to say anything about this week?
You said at the museum, don't they like screenings or something?
Oh, yeah, they do. They have a couple of movies playing every day, it seems like. While I was there, it was Winnie the Pooh.
Aww.
The original.
Cool.
So that was there, but I think the showing was like at 1 o'clock or something like that. And there's an extra charge, obviously, if you want to see the film as well. I don't believe it was much, though. Maybe $10. So you can, even if you're going to only spend a couple of hours in the museum, you can make a whole day of it.
Cool.
Without doubt. It opened normally, I think, at 10 o'clock and closed around 6, with the last entry being at like 5:30 or something like that.
Very cool.
If I remember correctly. So that's my thoughts, or, you know, the whole overview of my experience over at the Walt Disney Family Museum. It was just one of the best Disney experiences I had. So I'm very excited to hopefully go back and visit it again and notice all the other stuff that I missed the first time, because there was a ton of stuff I missed the very first time that going through the second time, I was like, oh, hi, how are you? So I think that's it for us this week, guys. What do you think? You think we're all good?
I think so.
Yeah, I just want to go to the museum now.
Yeah.
Let's go. We really have to start discussing a Disneyland trip. Me and Melissa have been talking about a couple of options, and we spoke with a friend a couple days ago about maybe doing some extra stuff down there, and
yeah, we gotta figure
some stuff out.
I really want to go for the fall, though, because I really want to see the Haunted Mansion overlay.
I understand.
I really want to.
Okay. We'll definitely go in the fall, but there might be a smaller trip earlier in the year.
Okay.
I also am starting to think that I want to do something over here.
Oh, yeah, we had some fun ideas.
Do you want to sort of talk about that? Like, just give an idea? And like,
I think that this is something that we would all very much like, and I think it's doable.
Okay, this is sort of an idea that we've been kicking around for the last couple of days. And, you know, obviously I'm going to bring it up in the group, and I would like to see who would be interested in this. So we were thinking about setting up a place in Wilderness Lodge, in the camp. I'm sorry.
Fort Wilderness.
Fort Wilderness, yes. Renting a couple of cabins, having people come down, rent a cabin. And I don't know how we can get this to work, but I will find out. Doing a screening of a Disney film, specifically Summer Magic, down there for all of us to watch. And then we record the show about Summer Magic later that night. We were thinking about doing this maybe like late January, early February.
Sometimes when it's cool out.
Yeah, so we would actually call it Winter Magic, featuring Summer Magic. And, you know, just give us feedback on that. Would that be something that you'd be interested in? It would be an event. It would be our first kind of like come and meet event. You know, because we have news.
Yeah. It kind of ties in. Yeah,
it kind of ties in. Basically, we have a friend of the show now, to put it a certain way. And that'll all be in greater detail explained over the next week or something like, you know, I guess it was really the best way to put it, because I don't know. We're unsure if certain wordings have to be worded. So we're just going to hold off on that. But you know, we have some great stuff coming up on the show. And so, yeah, give us your feedback on that. Yeah, Brian, what do you think about that idea?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, Melissa mentioned it to me the other day, and I think that would be a cool thing. Yeah. Well, no, it was in the group. It was in the group. She probably just didn't notice it.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that would be a great idea. Something along those lines would be a cool thing. And there's, I mean, I know I'll be down there in December, and there'll be a few people down there. We can have like a little informal thing, but I think it would be a cool way to tie in what we do with our first like official like meetup.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I'll feel weird doing it if Ryan isn't there. Ryan, if you had to come up for a weekend, just a weekend, you know, to do this, do you think that would be something you'd be interested in?
You know, you said Fort Wilderness, which everyone knows are my magic words. but then you said January, February, which are my opposite magic words, like the worst time of year for me.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So, yeah. I'm a grant writer, and like January through like April, I'm, you know, nose at a computer. But no, I love the idea. I mean, some of my favorite memories are watching movies out under the stars at Fort Wilderness. So that's always going to be a draw for me.
All right. Well, we'll look at the schedule and we'll figure out if there's any 3-day weekends or something like that where we could steal you for like 2 days.
Skip away for a couple of days.
Yeah. Just skip away for a weekend and come on down to here. So we will figure that out. We will work that out because I wouldn't want to do it without you. Honestly, it would feel weird at this point now.
And then you could have a sing along around the campfire.
Could have a sing along, then I could hit you over the head with a guitar like the Honky Tonk Man.
That's not
walk
the out, movie.
Watch the electrical water pageant. I mean, you know, there's lots of things.
There's a lot of good things to be done over there. So yeah, okay, guys. I hope you enjoyed this week's entry. I'm not sure what we're doing next week. We'll figure it out as when we're done recording. And until then. Right now, you are listening to Toys Noise. You can find this video and more over at youtube.com/pogo and all of his music at soundcloud.com/pogomix. Who are we? We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That is D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. You can find us on Facebook under Disney Magic Hour. Just add yourself to that group. Head on over to iTunes. 5-star review. We'll read it live on the air. No reviews this week. What a bummer. Get out there. Use the words. Tell me about your favorite experience with a Sloppy Joe. And if you make a review out of that, congratulations. Because I don't know how you're going to, but good luck to you. If you head on over to Google Music Play, head into the podcast section. You can find us there as well. And, of course, all of our audio is over at soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast. Melissa, Instagram address, please.
@ Disney Magic Hour Podcast.
And Ryan, once again, happy 9 years to you. Huge congratulations.
Thank you.
We're all looking forward to in many more years. And where, once again, can everyone find you?
MainSTGazette.com, MainSTGazette on Instagram, Twitter. And if you search Main Street Gazette on Facebook, I promise you'll find us there.
There you go. Till next time, say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Brian.
Good night, Brian.
Say goodnight, Ryan.
Good night, Ryan.
Good night, Pete. And say goodnight, Pogo.
You're flying. This isn't flying. This is falling with style. Uncharted, not night, not dark horse. Uncharted, not night, not dark horse. Uncharted, not night.